What is up, Clipper Nation? It is I, Positive Chuck Mockler, solo again here on Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, all the Clippers content you can handle. And we got a good one for you today. We kind of scraped by the Kings last night, which is good. We'll take the victory. Going to talk about some bad things that happened, specifically only really in the fourth quarter. Everything else was great. After that, going to get into Thirsty Thursdays, which if you're new, that is our weekly segment of things we want to see more of. And occasionally we do Edema Thursdays, which we figured is the opposite of thirst, which is things we are absolutely tired of. And after that, just a pretty quick NBA wrap-up. Before I get into the recap of the Kings versus Clippers game, I want to give a quick shout-out to our new advertising partner, Metro Infinity. They are just off the 210 in Monrovia at 821 East Central Ave. They're the only car dealer in California that is family-owned and has been in business for over 25 years. One of the cooler parts about Metro Infinity is I don't know if you don't like going to buy cars. I personally don't like going to dealerships. It's always just kind of weird. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office to complete the whole transaction. If you mention Locked On, you will get $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new car or an Infiniti, either of those things, give them a chance to earn your business. You will not regret it. They also have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or MetroInfinity.com. Right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. Don't forget to mention Locked On. Get $500 off. So, we got the fat dub last night, you guys. We beat the Kings 127-118 at Staples. We were very close to letting a large lead turn into a deficit, but we managed to pull it out. I'm going to get in some quick stats for you guys. Lou Williams led all scorers with 24 points off the bench. He also added 6 assists. He was, goddamn, he was so fun to watch. Trez had 22 points, 9 boards, and 5 blocks, which is a career high. He adds another 20-point game to his resume this year. I believe it's 11 this year, and he had 3 the last 3 seasons combined. So it's just so cool to see him just absolutely dominating off the bench. Tobias had 17. Avery Bradley had what I consider to be a perfect Avery Bradley scoring line, which was 15, 5, and 4. I talked about wanting to see him have a solid game yesterday after how well he played in crunch time against the Warriors. And it was great to see. These are numbers he should be putting up. This isn't something that we should be surprised or like pleasantly surprised by. I said, say these are just things that should be happening. But it's good to see him kind of hitting this stride. We have a back-to-back coming up tomorrow and Saturday, so he's going to be pretty crucial for that. Some Kings stats. De'Aaron Fox led them with 19-6-9, while Bogdan Bogdanovic had 13 off the bench. Man, watching this game, Bogdan's kind of weave game is crazy good. Once he gets the ball in between the top of the key and the three-point line, the way he controls his body is very interesting to watch. You never really know exactly where he's going to go. He's definitely not one of the fastest guys in the league or really the quickest, but he always seems to get to whatever spot he wants to go to. We have a lot of trouble kind of containing him. He was crucial during their kind of almost comeback. So the Clippers, for the most part, were in control of this game. Pretty handedly, it felt like. We were, you know, we had a pretty big lead on them. Late, 6 minutes left in the first, I really thought the Kings could have maybe made it a bit more of a game, even than they did. It was 18-12 with over 6 minutes left in the first. The Kings were down 18-12, I should say. And they were in the bonus, but they somehow couldn't use that to their advantage. I was pretty happy our defense kind of figured out what was being called, or maybe just kind of backed off a little bit. Because the game, that was a crucial turning point early in the game as things ended up playing out. I mentioned yesterday that I wanted Shea to have a good performance. He had a perfect first quarter. He went 5 of 5, putting up 11 points. He only made one more shot after that. He went 1 of 6 after the first quarter. But I guess, you know, that's fine. Everyone else was playing very well. But it was good to see him being aggressive. He hit a 3, which was good to see. I'm firmly on the train. I don't think anyone listening to this will disagree with me that Trez and Lou are the best bench duo in the league right now. When one of them is clicking, the other one kind of just goes lockstep with their vibe, and they just feed off each other's energy. Early on in the second, we went on a 14-5 run. that would prove to be pretty crucial, that was fueled by Trez and Lou. Trez was everywhere. He was fighting for loose balls, finishing with authority on the rim. Like I said, Lou Williams had 6 assists. He just, I mean, he did a little bit of everything last night. It's really cool to see. The Kings did not help their case in the first half. They went 0-7 from 3 in the first quarter and then 1-4 in the second quarter, which no doubt, you know, helped us expand the league. But we're going to take it. I'm going to credit that. Let's credit that to the defense, right? Not just poor Kings play. The ball movement in the third was, you know, amazing to watch. The ball movement the whole game was really great, save for some space in the fourth quarter. But the ball movement in the third was really good. Avery Bradley was getting involved. Every single guy was looking to make the extra pass without forcing the extra pass. It's been really refreshing to see this team play like they were early in the season. We kind of hit that lull, that 9-game stretch where we went 2-7. But, I mean, it feels like the ball movement's back. It feels like guys, I'm not sure if they weren't trusting each other during that lull, but it seems like they really bought into everything currently. We're hitting a pretty tough streak. This stretch of the Kings last night and then the Lakers Friday and the Spurs Saturday is a really hard stretch in this Western Conference. And to get the win with the ball movement like we had last night was fantastic. The game was going really great until the fourth quarter. At one point, they went on a 19-0 run to cut the lead to 9, which was not dope to watch. The most concerning part about this was it was their second unit doing most of this damage. Our lineup that gave up the bulk of this run was Shea, Tywall, Sindarius, Mike Scott, and Boban. Boban at this point in the fourth looked really gassed. He had a pretty good game. I think he went, hold on one sec. Yeah, he had 11 points on 4 or 5 shooting, so he was playing well. He just looked really tired. There was a position where he was handling the ball at the top of the key, which maybe just shouldn't happen after the third quarter. He gets so gassed that that's just a liability, and it turned into that. They were hounding him. He gave up the ball. Pretty easy turnover led to a quick dunk for them. Immediately after this run, Doc subbed out all 5 guys. So those 5 came out for Avery Bradley, Lou Williams, Tobias, Gallo, and Trez. With only 1 minute and 11 seconds left, the Kings cut this to a 3-point lead after what turned into, when it was all said and done, a 27-3 run. So disconcerting to see us give up that many points to a second unit, but it was fantastic to get those that next 5 in, and they came in and really helped us ice the game. Doc really seemed to kind of get outmanaged by Dave Joerger. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Joerger? Let's call him Joerger. He left Boban in way too long, which you think would be able to kind of be easy to notice given how you can tell that Boban is tired from like a mile away. He's a big lumbering guy. Like I said, he had a good game though. He had 11 points, added 5 boards. He played well except for that one stretch. He was just getting exposed on defense. He just can't move very well. Overall, a really good team win. The Kings are no joke, and you know, I thought this match was going to be pretty even, and it turned out to be very even. I don't think you can say that that run by the Kings in the fourth was a fluke or anything like that. This is a damn good fourth quarter team, especially. We ended up winning total rebounds. We won turnovers, although that was only 13-12, so both teams did a pretty good job of taking care of the ball, and free throw attempts. Usually if you win those 3 things, if you are the Clippers, you're going to win the game. Another thing that helped us out, the Kings shot 33% from 3 for the game, which after going 1-11 in the first half is pretty damn impressive. That fourth quarter run really boosted those numbers. We shot better than usual from 3, hitting 43% of our total 3-point shots, which was awesome. Tobias went 3-5. Lou hit a staggering 4 out of 5, which is pretty good for a guy who has, I'm assuming, like 1 functioning eye at this point, right? Some bad things. Pretty bummed to see Sindarius play so poorly on defense. He finished with a minus 15 in just under 3 minutes of play. I'm going to get into Sindarius a little more on the Thirsty Thursday segment next. But, yeah, he's a guy who played really well last year for us when he got a lot of minutes. And doesn't feel like, you know, just doesn't feel like there's room for him right now to get any real meaningful minutes that can kind of help shape his game in any way. Gortat interestingly got the did not play, which was, I guess, surprising. Trez and Boban took over the center responsibilities. Motley, Jonathan Motley, shout out the Free Motley Gang. on Twitter, was present, but we were told he's only going to play tomorrow against the Lakers, which we were all very excited for. The center position still feels like a conundrum. It still feels weird. I mean, Gortat didn't even play. We gave Boban a ton of minutes, which makes me think he's going to be shut down for the next, like, week and a half. We just can't play him very much. I'm curious to see how much time he's going to get in any of the games in the back-to-back coming up. You know, we almost let this one slip away, but we won. I was telling a coworker, I think that maybe the Lob City era Clippers maybe lose this game, strictly from a mentality standpoint. This team currently this season does not get beat like that. We were locked in. We gave up that run, and then, you know, some guys came in who were playing well. Doc tinkered with the lineup a little bit, which was cool to see, and they came in and they iced it for us. They got it done, which was huge. Huge team win in this damn tough Western Conference. It was fantastic to see us bounce back from a really tough stretch and shut down a team that's been pretty hot and, you know, helps us, I guess, try and win that Pacific Division title. Who knows? Coming up, I'm going to get into Thirsty Thursdays, just kind of some stuff I would like to see more of. But before I get into that, if you're following any of the Locked On Podcast Network shows, you need to check out Locked On Net at Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates all the NFL and NBA stuff. It's great during games. You get some highlights. The Instagram stories will give you some little more content when it comes to team moves and just local insight in general. Again, that is Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. Get there to follow us. You got some good snippets in there for you guys. So this is Thursday. We are doing Thirsty Thursdays things. Well, I guess usually we, my co-host William, the Opinion Updike, is out of town. Things we want to see more of. We've talked about this one player a ton on Thirsty Thursdays, and I'm going to talk about him one more time because I'm hoping our thirst will be quenched on Friday. It is Jonathan Motley, the one, the only. The Free Motley movement might be coming to a head. We worked really hard to get this done. Doc mentioned he will get some time against the Lakers on Friday. I cannot wait for this. Gortat, I mentioned, got the DNP last night, and Motley still not getting time was kind of frustrating. But as long as he plays on Friday, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, I'm so excited to see this kid play basketball. I cannot wait to see him up against, you know, real NBA talent. No disrespect to the G League. He's just been absolutely mopping the floor with guys down there. How much playing time are you expecting to see from Jonathan Motley? Let me know on Twitter. And there's a difference between expecting to see and wanting to see. I want to see him get 12 minutes, but I don't think that's going to happen. I just think we could have a pretty dynamic center rotation with Gortat, Trez, and Motley. Doc's been very good at kind of playing matchups so far this year. He's gotten it right more often than he's gotten it wrong, which is really good to see. It's just this center position is a little dicey, and I think those three guys, Motley kind of fills that quote-unquote traditional center role a little better than Gortat, mostly because Motley can A, jump high, and tries to play defense, and he grabs boards. So he does everything you kind of want Gortat wanting to do, but better because he's younger and faster. And with Trez, it's kind of the change of pace, undersized center. We could just have a pretty good core, and then Boban thrown in for when we need some Boban minutes. I'm thirsty for some Jonathan Motley. I think everyone listening to this podcast is. We will get a drink on Friday, thank God. And maybe Saturday. He's got those young legs. We might have to see him in that back-to-back against the Spurs. Oh, man. Another thing I'm a little thirsty for, I mentioned this in the recap, I just want Sindarius Thornwell to get a little more time to get into the rhythm of the game more. He's a pod favorite. We love Thorn God. And I will admit he played pretty bad last night, but he hasn't had a bunch of time to really run with the team. Ty Wallace has slowly gotten, you know, a little more playing time, which has been great. He's really shown that he can be a positive influence on this team with that playing time. Sindarius hasn't necessarily shown he can be as positive as Ty has shown, which is a little frustrating. Sindarius does kind of make his money off his defensive prowess. Last night it wasn't really there. So maybe needing to lock in more in those limited times, minutes that he's getting, and add a little polish to his offensive game, which doesn't really exist right now. He doesn't really have, you know, a go-to move. His dribble's a little high. It's just a little wonky. I kind of envisioned him at the beginning of the year as a defensive stopper kind of guy, and he just hasn't been called on to do that too much or had you know, a chance to get into that flow and that rhythm. You know, if Avery Bradley can turn it around like Avery Bradley has, why can't Sundarius? I'd like to see him get more time, maybe some G League minutes. I don't really know, though. He's a great player. He contributed well for us last year. Ty Wallace has shown that, you know, you give these guys some more time and they will be good. So I'm a little thirsty for him to just get locked in a little bit more. Kind of going off the Sundarius needing rhythm issue, Mike Scott is kind of the same way for me. He went 1 of 5 last night in 16 minutes. Disconcerting. Not really fun to watch, especially a guy who's a spot-up shooter for us. His season high is 18 minutes at Atlanta. He did get 28 minutes in that game. It just feels like this weird thing of our bench is almost so deep he can't get into a good shooting rhythm. That's not to say he's shooting poorly. He's shooting 38% from three, but he's only taking just under three shots from three-point land a game. Does he need to take more? I guess I'm just thirsty for more, which almost seems greedy. I mean, he, you know, 38% from three is nothing to thumb your nose at, but it'd be nice to have a shooter off the bench who takes more than 2.6 three-point shots a game. He's shown what he can do. You know, he's got kind of a nice handle. He's got some good passes. He can kind of sauce it up when he wants to, which we all appreciate seeing. I know I'm kind of just rambling here. We love Mike Scott, but he just hasn't seemed to really cement his role yet. It's not like he's the odd man out or anything like that. It just still feels kind of wonky sometimes. Like maybe he hasn't clicked into everyone else's rhythm, or they're not really understanding what he needs to be successful in this system. He's not playing particularly horrible. I just want to see a little bit more. I think coupled with this, if we could see him and Jerome at any point, I don't think it'll be the G League because I don't think they'll put Mike Scott down there, but if we could just see those two guys coming together at any point, it would be really cool to see, because that's just two deadly shooters out there who are doing their thing. When Mike Scott is on the floor, people kind of have to respect his shooting so we get a little more spacing, which is invaluable. You know, there's no stat to say how much advantage spacing gives you. If you're a statistician and you're listening, make one. Call it, I don't know, spaces per minutes on the court. That's insane that I just said that. But yeah, I just want to see a little more fire from Mike Scott. He's fun to watch when he's playing well. It just has been a little spotty so far this year. If you're a Mike Scott apologist, get at me. We love him. I'm not trying to badmouth him at all. I just want a little more from the guy, you know? Another quick thing that I think we're all thirsty for is Tobias should be an all-star. Gallo should probably also be an all-star, but for some reason, the fans are really galvanizing around Tobias. He was talking today about how he wants to get back in the three-point contest. Why not? Let's have him and Gallo in there. Let's just have two Clippers in there. We'll probably get the vote. If you haven't voted yet for the all-star game, get out there and vote. NBA.com/vote. I believe they took the slogan, vote or die this year. So if you don't vote, you die. If you guys are thirsting for anything in particular, please let me know. I'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. I think Will's going to be back. Not too much to be thirsty for right now. There was a bunch during that tough stretch. But right now the offense is clicking. I guess off the top of my head, one more thing I'm thirsty for is just maybe I'd like to see a stout defensive performance from this team. You know, we gave up 118 to the Kings. Yesterday we gave up a bunch to the Warriors. I'd like to see a really stout defensive game from these guys. I want to see that they're really, you know, believing in Rex's system and able to execute it. I think we're just a couple of wrinkles or tinkers away from being a very solid defensive team. We're not that solid right now defensively. We give up a lot of points. Thankfully, we score a fair amount. So I guess I'm just thirsty for a little more defensive understanding. Thank you for listening to me ramble on the Thirsty Thursday segment. Coming up, I'm going to be doing a quick NBA wrap-up. But first, if you need some warm clothes this winter, which we probably do, here in Los Angeles, I was wearing two sweatshirts instead of a coat like a lunatic. Check out Action Heat. They've got a special deal for listeners. Save 20% on your whole order. Go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out all of their super awesome, you know, they got jackets, they got long underwear, whatever you need. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. So there were hella games last night. I'm just going to give Some recap of some pertinent Western Conference battles. Dallas snuck past the Pelicans, 122-119. I was looking at the box score for this game. This is a brutal loss for the Pelicans. They've had a couple of these this year. I'm just going to run down what their big three had. AD had 32-18. Drew Holiday had 25, and Julius Randle added 23. You would think that those three guys putting up those numbers, you'd get a win. They got absolutely no support. I don't think anyone else scored more than 10. They had a couple guys in the 3 and the 2 range. AD just has to be gone, right? If you're AD, you've put your trust into building a team around you. They kind of have one. Drew Holiday and Julius Randle are absolutely fantastic. It would be great pieces next to anybody. They complement AD very well. I love watching those three guys play. There's just some disconnect there. I don't know what's going on. It's just got to be tough. Doncic asserted himself on them with 21, 9, and 10. DeAndre had 20 and 12. J.J. Barea continued to sip from the fountain of youth with 18 points off the bench. I'm going to be so bummed out if AD goes to the Lakers. It seems pretty possible, unless New Orleans adds, two more pieces? New Orleans does have the money advantage on other teams in there, so who really knows what's going to happen. It's just going to suck if we get a big free agent and the Lakers somehow end up with AD and LeBron. We're not here to talk about future Lakers players, though. Sorry about that. Just a brutal loss for the Pelicans. You hate to see them kind of, for lack of a better term, pissing away Anthony Davis's abilities. Phoenix and Orlando duked it out in a matchup of the two worst NBA cities. Phoenix won 122-120 in an OT thriller. Phoenix continued their recent quote-unquote dominance thanks to 35, 7, and 8 from Devin Booker, 24 points from TJ Warren, 12 boards from DeAndre Ayton, and 19 off the bench from Kelly Oubre, who seems rejuvenated now that he's in Phoenix. I like when a player goes to a new place and seems genuinely happy with it. He seems a great fit for this team. Kind of weird he's coming off the bench, but I don't know, what are you going to do? For the Magic, 7 players got into double digits for them. DJ Augustine led them with 27. Vucevic had 22 and 13. This has to be his best year, right? I'm not a Vucevic historian. If you are, please let me know. And Terrence Ross had 18 off the bench. Good game by two bad teams. Those are always really fun to watch. It's kind of nice when one team is like, oh, we can play well. And then another bad team is like, oh, I guess we can play well too. This could be fun. Shout out to the Suns having, I guess they're kind of losing the tank battle right now, but they had such a far lead that I think they'll be safe. Who do you think they're taking if they get the first pick? Do you think they just lose their minds and they take Zion? They run Devin Booker, Zion, and DeAndre Ayton? God, that would be truly insane. In a situation that helped William, my co-host William the Opinions, the Nuggets aren't for real movement, San Antonio beat the Nuggets 111-103. Pretty curious game. DeMar DeRozan led everyone with 30 points. LaMarcus Aldridge had 27. Jacob Poeltl contributed 11 boards off the bench. For the Nuggets, Juan Hernan Gomez tried his best with 27 and 13. Some ludicrous rebounding numbers put up last night. Jokic had a very goofy stat line of 4 points, 4 boards, and 10 assists. And Malik Beasley did his thing with 22 off the bench. Are the Nuggets for real? I'm not really sure. Are the Spurs good? Probably not. I think the Nuggets are maybe more real than the Spurs are good. Still got a long way to go to shake it out. Only 2 games separate the 4 and the 10 seed in the Western Conference. Makes these next 2 games all the more crucial for the Clippers. If we can get one of the 2 against the Lakers and the Spurs back-to-back, I will be pretty psyched. I think most of Clipper Nation will. That wraps it up for solo Chuck Mockler today. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a big preview of the Lakers versus Clippers game. Also going to break you off with some of that Spurs versus Clippers preview. I will be at that game on Saturday. Pretty excited for it. Give me a shout out if you are there as well. Might live stream the episode tomorrow. We're going to be doing those previews for you, taking a look at the Pacific Division power structure and playing Love, Marry, Kill, which we do every single Friday here on Locked On Clippers. If you're a new listener, welcome. The bandwagon is open. If you're an old listener, hey, always good to see you. Guys, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.